Last night, we said a great many things. You said I was to do the thinking for both of us. Well, I've done a lot of it since then, and it all adds up to one thing. You're getting on that plane. That plane leaves the ground, and you're not on it, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. And for the rest of your life.
But what about us?
We'll always have Bryant Park.
And I said I'd never leave you.
And you never will, but I've got a job to do. Rachel, I'm no good at being noble, and it doesn't take much to see that a little radio show doesn't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Not now. Here's looking at you, kid.
Now that's how you say goodbye in the movies. And today I'm saying goodbye to movies with Daniel Holloway. But one more foggy talk on the runway seems in order.
That's from a movie?
It is!
What movie is that from?
I know.
I think it was a porno.
Ian Chilong's brain.
Well, then
hi,
I would have
Dan.
Seen it.
Dan, the
hi,
fundamental
Rachel.
Things still apply as time goes
I'm so
by.
Glad you could come in one more time. For me. It's not going to be the last time for you, but for me.
Why bother coming in after
Where do you
this
rank yeah, Casablanca? Really. Where do you rank it? Is it one of your best favorite movies of all time?
I mean, top 10. You
yeah,
know.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Here we are. All in agreement.
I think that's pretty much universal, right?
I think some people think it's overrated, but maybe they haven't seen it recently.
No, it's good. It holds.
Time Could be the best screenplay ever. Anyway.
Is WALL-E going to be on the top 10 list of best films of the universe?
Best films of the universe? You know, when it comes time at the end of the year to make best films of the year in the universe, it's going to be up there.
Really?
Yep. I am unashamedly in love with this movie.
Interesting.
I feel about this movie the way I feel about Rachel.
Oh.
Ooh, it all comes out now.
No.
The last day. The truth gets out.
Restraining
you think that
order.
I'm a strange, charming, small robot?
Yeah.
Think of me?
It's just like that. I think of you as a cross between E.T. and R2-D2.
Yeah. So who is this little robot? Why is he so appealing?
This little robot, his name is WALL-E. And he is a trash-compacting robot. He is the last survivor of planet Earth 700 years after we all load up into some spaceships owned by a company that's a dead ringer for Walmart and fly off into space because we've ruined the planet. And 700 years pass and, you know, a robot gets lonely. And another robot comes by
do.
And he falls in love.
Okay, well, let's get to a little piece of this so we can get a sense of this love story. Here's a short scene. In which, apparently, this probe droid sounds really sad.
20 seconds to self-destruct. Ten seconds to self-destruct. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good soundscape.
I mean, you have no
right
idea
there.
What's going on.
This is an animated movie, and I'm listening to it. This is about the best sound I've ever heard from a movie.
It's pretty incredible.
So is this being hailed as taking Pixar where it hasn't been before in terms of animation?
I mean, Pixar, visually, Pixar steps up its game every year, and that's to be expected. The technology gets a little bit better, you know, as time goes by, and the movie is going to look a little bit better than the one that comes before. And their movies have a really good track record of being critically acclaimed. They're always well-written films. This one just does everything that the best Pixar movies does, but does it a little better and is a lot more adventurous. The first 30 minutes or so of the film are near silent. You know, any sound that I started thinking about the Dogma movies because any sound that occurs is occurring naturally in the film. And because your robot doesn't have anyone to talk to and doesn't really have a very large vocabulary, there's not a lot happening. And it's a kid's movie, and yet it still works on that level too, which I think is incredible that they were able to pull this off.
Pixar is amazing. They've made, this is their ninth movie ever. The worst performing movie was A Bug's Life, and that made $350 million worldwide.
Pocket
and that was,
change.
Yeah, that was in 98. Add them all together. They've never had, not only have they never had not a hit, they have never had one of the biggest hits of the year. And when you go down the list, Finding Nemo's, The Incredibles, Ratatouille, both Toy Stories, Cars, Bug's Life, and Monsters, Inc., it's, you know, they got to come up, they got to crap out sometime, but not with this one. I don't know how long they could continue their winning streak, but the director of this movie, this was the Finding Nemo guy?
Yes, this was the director of Finding Nemo. And despite all the sort of, you know, adventurous little things that are done in the film, this movie probably skews younger than any film that they've done since Finding Nemo. You know, The Incredibles and Ratatouille kind of, you know, go a little bit older in the kids' age group. This one plays for younger kids. You know, Wally's cute, and his, you know, his friend Eve is cute, and everything's, you know, kind of shiny and robot-y. And
you're a grown-up and you liked it.
And I'm a grown-up and I liked it.
Well, my favorite Pixar movie, I like the Brad Bird movies the best.
Yeah.
And The Incredibles was my favorite. I felt it had an underlying message, that a philosophy more than a message. Does this have that?
And it this movie comes in the tradition of post-apocalyptic sci-fi films, like, you know, we just saw the end of Battlestar Galactica for the season recently, or Planet of the Apes, or, you know, any number of these films.
Movie I just saw.
Hitchcock?
I
Am Legend.
Oh, I Am Legend. Right. I Am Legend. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
And I think that's where the sort of substance of the thing is. I mean, you're looking at Earth having been turned into a wasteland, and you're also looking at humanity as people don't walk anymore when we find people. When Wally's finally, like, reunited with what's left of humanity, people are all running around the ship in little automated chairs, and there's a speaker on the ship that tells them when it's time to eat, and it's a lot of good jokes come out of it. It's like, time to eat lunch in a cup, and then, like, everyone has a cup of lunch appear in their hand.
Well, don't tell me any more jokes, because I've decided this whole summer, all the big blockbusters, the ones you say you should see this in a theater, to me, Hulk, Indiana Jones, they haven't been really well-reviewed movies. I get out to the actual movies in a movie theater, you know, once a month if I really try to, because I'm a young dad. This is the one I'm going to see. This is it.
This is the one you should see.
Let's take a turn and move on to something slightly different, maybe less young, maybe not, who knows. Wanted, starring James McAvoy and Angelina Jolie. And when we broached this in the meeting the other day, everyone's like, Wanted, oh yeah, the one with the bullets that curve.
This is
the
movie.
Can you explain?
I think that sums it up perfectly. This is the one with the bullets that curve.
That's it? That's all there is to it? They just curve and everyone just accepts it?
There seems to be a requirement in action films now that the special effects have to be physics bending.
Yeah.
Like, you have to show something occurring in the natural world that doesn't occur. Yeah,
yeah,
and let's blame The Matrix.
Yeah, why not? So let's listen to a little bit of scene here. Here's Angelina Jolie, another big name in the film, Morgan Freeman, meeting for the first time in a supermarket.
I'm sorry?
You apologize too much.
Sorry about that.
I knew your father.
My father left the week I was born, so...
Your father died yesterday on the rooftop of the Metropolitan Building. Sorry.
Look, the liquor aisle's just over there, so if you want to...
Your father was one of the greatest assassins who ever lived. The man who killed him is behind you.
Curving bullets.
Yeah, you can tell the trajectory from the sound.
We should point out that wasn't Morgan Freeman, that was James McAvoy.
I thought Morgan Freeman was displaying impressive range.
How does McAvoy do? He got a lot of credit for his role in The Last King of Scotland. How's he doing here with Angie?
He's convincing. He's becoming a little movie star. You know, I think the press for this movie, or the marketing campaign, I should say, is trying to make it look like there's a romantic storyline between the two of them, and there's not. But McAvoy's good. The first part of this movie is pretty clever in that it spends a lot of time with doing kind of fun jokes with his office life and poking fun at that. And he's a very sort of schlubby guy. And then he goes through the necessary training montages.
McAvoy is,
yeah.
That's good. He usually plays a suave guy, like in Atonement. Mm-hmm. And even as he seemed to have it all going on as the fawn in Chronicles of Narnia.
Narnia, yeah.
Right, he seemed to be a wicked fawn.
What was the guy's...
Mr. Tomless.
Yes.
Tomness. Can I just ask you what you think about Angelina Jolie's acting ability? I'm just curious.
This is going to be the Us Weekly writer in me coming out.
I want to hear it.
She's too skinny.
She's too skinny.
I mean,
I did ask you about her acting ability. Well, I love that. That was your answer.
But this is why that's relevant.
I think the pregnancy has taken care of that.
Yeah,
no?
It probably has.
I saw her on the cover of Vanity Fair, and she is busting out.
Yeah, well, she's got a tiny baby living inside her. You know, But when you have a movie that is this sort of stylized and you know, she's supposed to be playing the sexy vamp, and I'm sorry, I just don't believe it. I don't know if it's appropriate to really comment on an actor's weight, but I think we're here.
You got to say it.
Yeah, I think she's too skinny.
Wow.
I think she needs to eat a turkey before she does another movie like this.
Listen up, Angelina. Sorry. I know Holloway has spoken. Yeah. Okay, let's take yet another turn.
Take it from the next host of Celebrity Fit Club, Daniel
I'm
Holloway.
Be back here.
No, seriously, I know exactly what you mean. In another McAvoy movie, I'm looking at Keira Knightley saying, "Why she?" I mean, it's just distractingly thin.
Well, that does get to be a point when you're actually distracted
from
the film.
I'm looking at you worry about her health. I mean, and it's also the star's fault because they make themselves such big icons. Angelina Jolie's all about her image. How are we not supposed to think about her image?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on. Trumbo, a documentary. A little different here about Dalton Trumbo. Before we have a conversation, let's listen to a little bit of the trailer.
You state your full name.
Dalton Trumbo.
He was Hollywood's greatest screenwriter.
I'm Spartacus. I'm Spartacus.
He was one of our heroes. He was an iconoclast.
His words still resonate today.
I dreamed that the world could be better and tried to make it so.
The right man collides with the right idea at precisely the right time.
I find enough to do, but don't enjoy doing it.
I must make the choice of what kind of writer I want to be.
Dalton Trumbo, prisoner number 7551.
Mr. Trumbo, are you now, have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
He defied a committee.
So this is about screenwriter Dalton Trumbo, famous for writing Spartacus, the Brave One. He was blacklisted in 1956. Why is this story relevant now?
Why is this story relevant
now? Or maybe it's not.
I mean, it's clearly...
Why is it happening now?
Well, it's clearly relevant now with under this administration, but I'm not going to get into political bloviating. I think
right. You save your bloviating for actresses and how they look.
Yeah, I got to prep for political bloviating. That doesn't right. come naturally. I mean, I think this is a story that's always relevant in the HUAC and the blacklist are things that we always need to come back to. I think Trumbo's story is interesting because Trumbo was such an interesting person. And I think this movie is not very heavy-handed in the history lesson that it has to dole out.
I saw a one-man play called Trumbo. That might have been...
This film is based on that. It was written by Trumbo's son, Christopher.
Yeah, and many different actors played Trumbo during the run. I saw it with Chris Cooper of American Beauty fame. Mm-hmm. Oh, I heard that Michael...
Good.
He wasn't good.
I expected
him to be, but it seemed like he didn't really know the part that well. I heard that Michael Richards, Kramer, was awesome. I couldn't believe that. Yeah.
Big names in this, though. I mean, Dustin Hoffman, Nathan Lane, Liam Neeson, Kirk Douglas,
yeah.
Michael, Donald Sutherland, Joan Allen.
Mm-hmm. And David Strathairn opens it from Good Night and Good Luck. A lot of good names. This is definitely a movie to see. Trumbo was an excellent writer, and what a lot of the readings that the actors are doing are coming from are his letters. And some of his letters are hilarious.
Yes.
And you really get the sense of a guy who... was always on, and more than anything else, took words really seriously, so seriously that he continued to work after he was no longer getting credit for it, and he was thrown in jail for his activities in the Communist Party, which he never apologized for, and he ended up exiled in Mexico. He had two of his films won Oscars that he was not able to pick up.
And they had fake names on it.
Spartacus,
I think. It wasn't... under Trumbo's name.
No,
I think
Spartacus
that, yeah.
was not under Trumbo's name. They eventually changed the print and added his name to it.
You know, the one thing that turned me off, though, about that trailer, to start off with the greatest screenwriter in Hollywood, he wasn't. I mean, he was a great screenwriter, but Paddy Chayefsky was writing at the time.
Yeah.
You know, you want to talk about director William Wyler. So I don't know why they have to hype it like that. He was great enough.
I think it's one of those things where they assume that you don't know who this guy is, and they assume who you don't know who his contemporaries were, so just why not say it?
Why not say it?
You know?
People will believe it. Daniel Holloway writes reviews for Metro, and he's our film guy here at the BPP.
Could I say this?
Yeah.
Danny, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Oh.
Right? That's the button on the Casablanca theme.
It is. You guys will have to go on without me. Hey, thanks, Dan.
As you fly away into the distance.
Thank you, guys.
That does it for this hour of the BPP. We don't go away online, but you know that. We're there at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca, and this is the Bryant Park Project.